The following program is an Encore presentation powered by Ride the Wave Media.
Step into the world of A is for Adversity, a podcast where we explore the journey of motherhood. Join us weekly as we navigate the intricate garden of self-discovery amidst the trials of motherhood. This is your space to nurture your identity and bloom. I'm your host, Jen Banks.
I am so excited for this week's episode. It's a first in my podcast history. I have 6 guests on the show and 2 hosts. Whew, you could feel the women energy in that room. It was incredible. And I cannot wait to share this interview with you. So let's get right to it.
We have an awesome panel for International Women's Day. Just some amazing women in studio today. So thank you all for joining us.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, we're excited. So we're going to just go down the list here. And if you don't mind just introducing yourself, tell us a couple things about you and just get to know you.
I'm Sarah Zarol. I'm the founder of Made Mindful, which has resources for birth and motherhood for anybody who is on their first time journey or is just needing more assistance. I'm a birth doula and have really enjoyed being able to help people start their motherhood journeys.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah.
Hi, I'm JC. I have an Instagram account called Life a Sister, where it's 2 sisters just being insane and crazy, showing our crazy life with our 8 children between the 2 of us. Wow. I have 3 girls and 1 boy, and we show all things fashion, all things crazy, cooking, food, pretty much just the day in the life of a sister.
How awesome. Thanks for joining us today, JC.
Hi, I'm Michelle. I have 7 kids. I kept on having kids until I found one I like. I really like my last one. Yep, I'm going to keep her, ages 38 down to 18. I'm a life coach, relationship coach, trauma coach. I've been doing it for 18 years, and I have my certificate through Stanford. I take you from where you are now, and let's move you forward.
Wow.
Thank you for having us. I'm excited to get to know everyone.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Hi, I'm Amber Bennett. I am currently in the thick of motherhood, but I did have a very colorful life before motherhood, so I'm excited to share with you guys by way of Los Angeles and working in the film industry with set design and costume design.
Wow, awesome. Thanks, Amber.
Hi, I'm Lindsay. I work in the aerospace and defense industry. I'm a senior acquisition manager and co-owner of Ride the Wave Media, and I'm really excited to get you to know all of you as well.
Awesome. Yeah, we've got a great panel today. So thank you again for joining us. Jen, I'm going to let you kick us off with our first question.
Okay, sounds great. Amber, your journey to motherhood was not easy. How has that experience shaped you and who you are?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. It took me a long time to have kids. We had unexplained infertility. So about 10 years of not knowing why, but we had miscarriages and things like that. And it was a hard time, but looking back now, I'm in the perfect stage of my life to be a mother. So I love being able to share that with others, what I've learned along the way, being there for others who are struggling with infertility. But in those 10 years, I did have a lot of adventures. It's just, I appreciate things now about being a mother that I don't know if I would have as much if I would have had kids earlier. Mm-hmm. But I love it. I'm enjoying that part of my life right now. And we're lucky we ended up having 2 boys, so I feel super blessed that they were able to come, and I'll share with you a little bit later when it comes up, but yeah, we did have a lot of adventures in LA before kids came, so it was fun.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Great. Sarah, do you have anything to add to that? What have you seen through Made Mindful? Have you come across a lot of infertility or people, or what has been your experience meeting different mothers?
I think infertility is one of the unspoken heartaches of our generation right now. It's never something that someone can like really describe what support they need, but everybody can pinpoint the support that they don't need or the comments that really
absolutely
dig down deep to their soul.
Yes.
And as we have been supporting clients, especially those who have had miscarriages or they're delivering their rainbow baby, there's so much that's built within them that actually prohibits them from having a successful delivery. And so when you were talking about your trauma, we try to help people to release their fears and really get past those things while they're pregnant so that when it comes time for delivery, they're ready.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And that really does bring into focus why we are here and why we wanted this panel of women to come and talk about who you are, what you do. We are all from the same community, so that's neat. We do have that in common. But it leads me to International Women's Day and bringing these strong, amazing women from our community together. I just want to run down the list, and we'll start here with you, Lindsay.
Sure.
On what does International Women's Day mean to you?
I saw the question, or I thought about the question today before coming in, and I was like, trying to pinpoint, because when it first came about,
yeah.
I looked at it interestingly. Like, I thought it was like an overly feministic and abrasive day.
Sure.
And then I learned more and more about like what it was like coming into my own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And don't.
We're all here to support you here, girl.
It's just because we have such women power here right now.
Own the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful gift. Own the emotion.
Absolutely. I'm over here with tears in my eyes because I feel.
I've just seen a lot of examples lately in life where really strong women have come together. I have a coworker that is amazing. And I think, and a lot of my coworkers that are amazing, then my, just the experience of seeing the power that women have in the face of adversity,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily saying that it's like male adversity, but just even our own adversity, like our own
self-imposed.
Yeah. Our own cap that we put on ourselves, our own
completely
confidence
mm-hmm.
cap that we put. Mm-hmm. Goodness. Anyway, it means a lot, obviously.
No.
And I'm like way here for all women. Like,
oh, I love that. I love
not in a like psycho feminist way, but like in a way that we are amazing.
Yes. And I love that you started that by saying, I can feel the energy here because I'm over here again. You're going to make me cry. But I'm going to feel that. I feel that as well. Just that energy. We've got some amazing women here doing some amazing things in our community. And again, this International Women's Day, we can take a very feminist approach mm-hmm. to it, and it can quickly turn into a negative thing. And I don't think that's why we're gathered here or the intention of today. And so I really love your answer and how you address that, because I think sometimes it comes from other women. It comes mm-hmm. from ourselves.
Yeah,
even.
From ourselves.
And
a
I
lot.
Know we've got some life coaches here that can probably speak a little more to that.
He's setting up appointments.
Yes, exactly. But, right, like we sometimes have those, what am I trying to say here, ladies, those ideas or those limiting beliefs that we put on ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that you shared that. Thank you. Yes.
That's exactly, I think, where we should celebrate is that we, as women in this room and within our tribe and within our community, we are breaking those beliefs and those threads that have gone back through history. When I thought about this topic and really the impact of women that we've had and how short history is. So just 100 years ago, we got to vote.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I remember thinking, driving here, that was my great-grandma.
Yeah.
She didn't have that right to have an opinion about her community, her tribe, her neighborhood. And I think it's really important that as we sit here with our beauty and our strength and that we are shattering these beliefs, and it starts within our family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it starts within our community, and then it moves out, and we need to shatter them one thread at a time. Where does that thread link back? Like you're talking about your infertility, and that thread is so tender. And then going into these births, you have to cut those threads in order to be set free.
Yeah. I love that.
And I think that's what we're doing here today.
Thank you.
How about you, JC? What are your thoughts on International Women's Day or just motherhood or women in general, wherever you want to take that?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I love being a woman. I think
yes.
it Amen. Comes with a lot of perks.
Yeah, it does.
I love all of the parts of it. I love being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I even love the hardships that come with a woman and then the relationships I think you find through those hardships with other women. Recently, my high school friends have started having a polo group. And it's going 24/7, so I can't keep up on it always. But just finding the connection and that other women are, there's probably a lot of them who are going through what you're going through, or maybe someone's going through something that you have been through. And it's just so magical to see what women can do. And it just makes me happy to listen to it throughout the day. And it's like friendship.
Yeah.
And I love being a woman. It's fun.
I just want to put a plug in for JC because her Instagram account is so inspiring. I think it's a space that's super safe for women. And when I know there's a lot of controversy about influencers and Instagram and how it makes you feel, but it's a safe space and you make women feel okay about themselves. You're really real. So I just wanted to put a plug in for you on that.
Oh, I love that. Oh, and I'm going to bounce it back and ask, have you received pushback with your Instagram and like being a strong female face in the community? She's over here smiling. Yeah, it's coming.
You know what? Me and my sister, Mackenzie, who I run the account with, we have been truly, I feel like, blessed. Our followers are really nice. Like, we've talked about it actually multiple times. And maybe that is because most of the time we try not to be too controversial and keep it light, like Amber said. Yeah. It's a pretty light place. Like I said, it's just us being crazy moms most of the time and throwing on an Amazon deal that can make you really happy. Sometimes it's just an Amazon deal that can make you happy at the end of the day. And it gets there at your doorstep the next day. That's nice. The best part. Perks, again, of being a woman, especially in 2024. But yeah, there's definitely times when you post something and you're second guessing yourself. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I feel like most women, especially these days, are really good to one another. And I think that's the beauty of where we've gotten to.
Yeah, I love that.
That's great. I have a lot of friends who are stuck in the mom guilt phase. So does anyone have any advice for how to get out of the mom guilt realm? Because with technology and with the advance in media, we do compare ourselves to others more often just because it's out there. But how can we refrain from doing that?
I feel like you two are super qualified to answer this.
Yes. Get our life coaches on here.
Oh, my goodness. I think we need to just throw that little gem out. We just do not. Comparisons kill.
Yes.
And there is no reason, because we are so incredible and so unique and so rare. And there's only one of us, and why waste time comparing? Because as I look around this table, the individual, each person here is so beautiful, and you are accomplishing and doing what you are made to do. And if you weren't following your own talents and gifts and patterns, then you wouldn't be an influencer. You wouldn't be helping babies come into this beautiful world and experience the miracle of life. And so I think all of us need to just sit back into the space and realize how special it is to be rare, mm-hmm. how special it is to be you. There's only one of us, and there's a reason for that. And you are the only one who can make that impact. No one else. You have to make your own impact. So I say get rid of it. Cut that thread. Doesn't exist.
I love that. What about you, Sarah? Any thoughts on that?
I think mom guilt is one of the hardest words to really swallow. In my own life right now, I am actually just taking a breath and slowing down. Everybody says those young years go by so fast. So my kids, my boys, all three, 6, 4, and 2. Oh, and so busy. I don't have a lot of time most days to really dive into much of anything else. But because I care for them so deeply, and I do want to be the one that is raising them day in and day out, I'm just taking a break from a couple of my other responsibilities. And sometimes I feel guilty myself for putting myself on the back burner, but then I remember that the time and season is for me right now. And the attachment that I can form with my children will create a bond that can't be then broken later on when I do jump back in with both feet into everything that I am made to pursue.
Yeah, I think she said the key, it's a season. And we have to respect the season that we're in and not be so hard on ourselves. If you're a young mom, your responsibility is those little ones. If you're in a season like me and my children are gone and now wisdom and experience are colliding, and they call it a midlife crisis. I don't think it's a midlife crisis. I just think it's this beautiful explosion of this past, when I was a young mom, to raising kids, to now an empty nester. I think when you have that experience and that wisdom is this beautiful gift, but you need to sit in each season because it's so short. You get 12 summers before they leave. Just respect where you are and not be so hard on yourself.
That really puts things into perspective when you break it down like that, right? It doesn't always feel so simplified when you've got toddlers climbing all over furniture and you're in the thick of it, right? Changing diapers and getting no sleep, and which actually leads to another question that I had. And I think you touched on this just a little bit, Sarah, and it when you mentioned not having time for yourself. Tell me how you guys approach that now, how you ladies approach that now, is creating that time or making time for yourself. And Jen, you hit the nail on the head when you're like, sometimes we feel like that's selfish, that ugly, nasty term or the mom guilt associated with that. So do any of you want to take on that question? Any thoughts, Jen?
Yeah, I'll speak to that before we open it up. That's my mission and purpose in life, is to help women maintain their identity throughout motherhood. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we get trapped sometimes with the all or nothing mentality. You don't have to be all mother or all empty nester. There's some overlap, and there are things that you can do to fill your cup so that you show up as a better mom to your children. And that's what I do now. I put my boys in daycare on Wednesdays every week just to have that little respite, to have the time where I can do podcast interviews and things like that. And so finding the ways that fill your cup, even if it's not on a grand scale level.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as you were talking about it, and I have the opposite of some people. I had my, not midlife crisis, but I had my kidless years in the beginning, in my 20s.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've lived a whole lifetime in those 10 years before kids came. And so I'm in the opposite of what a midlife crisis would be. But so I was able to pursue my talents and do amazing things in that 10-year period. And now I'm living a more quiet life. And it's interesting. So what I try to do is, because I am in the thick of motherhood with a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old boy, is I'm trying to find little outlets for my creativity and the things that I love to do. Mm-hmm. So like the other day, I went with Jen and we went and we did a personal styling experience where I helped her find some clothes that she looks amazing in and feels confident in for some of her speaking engagements. And for me, that filled my cup. And I know she probably thought I was helping her, but it helped me. Because it filled my cup, I was able to release those things that I'm not able to usually exercise at this stage in my life, like we talked about. But little things like that do fill my cup. So
yeah,
it's
nice. That's a great point, because you had an entire career. Tell us a little bit about, you were in the film industry, right?
Yeah. Well, my husband was there for film school in Los Angeles for 12 years. And any projects he worked on, he would bring me on to help set decorating, set design, wardrobe department, costume design. And I had my hands in all that for a long time. And it was really exciting and really fun, really superficial. But it definitely was a way that I could exercise that creative side of me for a long time. And it was fun.
Okay. And I've got a follow up for you, because I hear you might be in law school or second career. Like, tell me a little bit about
it. If I say it here, now I have to do it.
Oh,
and no, before kids came, I was looking into graduate school, and I was this close to going to graduate school. And then we were able to have a successful pregnancy, and I had a child, and that kind of got put on the back burner. And now I feel like I'm getting to the stage where I could go back to school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I'm going to go back to school, why don't I just go to law school? Because that was always a possibility. So yeah, we're looking at that in the future too. Wow. So that's on my bucket list right now.
Absolutely amazing. Jeez. Maybe I need a second career, third or fourth.
I think your calendar's full enough.
Yeah. I heard you're on your fourth or fifth now, aren't you?
Something like that. No, I'm teasing.
JC, do you feel like Instagram is an outlet for you, or does it feel more like a duty? What is that like for you?
Instagram is sometimes a four-letter word, if I'm being very honest. And there has been peaks and valleys for sure. We've had our Instagram account for almost 10 years now. And it's definitely changed too in the time that we've been doing it. It changed a lot during COVID. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely like joy that still comes from it. It's a job, but there's joy. And I think that's why what keeps me going. There's some days where I want to delete. And then there's other days that you're loving it, like all things, I think. I wouldn't say it's my outlet. I would say it's what I'm doing to get it done. And my outlet was other things. Are not four-letter words. But I actually think there's a lot of perks that come from it. I've obviously not only like monetarily, but I've gotten to go to Aruba with my husband on a trip, and things I probably would have never gotten to do. I've gotten to experience things like that. So I love that side of it. And I also try to be super careful in front of, I have three girls. So I try and be very careful about what they see. My daughter's almost 11 and she's already like, I want Instagram. I'm like, it's a no. Which everyone has their own opinions and where that goes. But raising three girls, I definitely have strong, strong feelings about social media for young kids. So they do not see me on social media from when they get home from school at 3:35 till. And then I do it while my baby naps. I do all my filming during then. And then when my kids get into bed, I do a lot of it in my bed after my husband starts snoring. That's when I do like the background stuff. The filming takes place during my baby's nap. And after that, I try and put it away so that my girls don't have to see that.
Wow. That's a neat boundary to have in place. That's
very impressive.
Impressive. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of boy moms here. Thank you for sharing that experience as a girl mom. I wouldn't know what that's like.
Me either. We have a lot of boy moms here.
What's it like for you, Lindsay, raising boys?
I think I was mentioning earlier, I thought I was having a girl both times. So it was a surprise to be a boy mom. But I decided along the way that there's a responsibility of being a boy mom. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I'm not going to do any of this without crying. I felt like there's a responsibility to show them how to have emotions and how it's okay to have emotions. My goodness, you girls are energizing my tears.
You don't have a lot of estrogen at your house.
I don't. It's like I have a cat that I don't like. There's and that's energy it. In here. There really is.
It's
there really is.
Like you can palpable.
Yes, exactly.
Truly.
But I feel like there's a responsibility to our young boys, like to break the norms. Like my son can paint his nails. He can have long hair. He can do whatever he likes. Doesn't matter. There's no gender specificity in my house. And I think it's really important for them to know that they have a strong mom and that they have that they can do whatever they want, but so can their girlfriends and so can their boyfriends. Like anyone can be anything. And we fly a pride flag and we love to share with them that everybody is deserving of love and they can do anything that they want in life. So I feel like there's a big responsibility to our boys.
For sure.
Very good.
I love that. I feel like I've gained a deeper appreciation for men with having boys because, as JC said, I love being a woman. There's so many perks.
Yes.
But to get that appreciation for men is good, too.
Who are our other boy moms in here? Okay.
I have a mix. Yeah.
I have a mix as well.
And I think such a great point how we have to teach our young men. One of the things that we did, because I have seven kids, but my story is two of them are natural and five of them are adopted. And they all came at different ages and different stages. And then I've experienced miscarriages, too. I had six of them, and then I wasn't able to get pregnant. So God's, well, it was funny. He's like, well, we'll give you five more. So, but when these children entered our home, especially the young men, and coming into a house where there's other girls and how to treat them, and know that my girls should stand up for themselves. So what we did is we started dating our kids. And my husband and I, we would take each one of the kids out on a date and they would learn how to date. And 1 week, my son would ask me out. The next week, I would ask out my daughter. And we did this throughout their whole childhood. And my favorite experience when my son got out of the Marines, I'm going to cry. He came home and he snuck downstairs and he put on his dress blues. And then he went to the front door and he knocked on the front door and I opened it up. And there he was, all in his uniform. And he's like, the first thing I want to do, Mom, is take you out on a date. And he had flowers. So I think it's so important that we set a standard inside of our home on how people should be treated. Our moms, our sisters, our friends, our family. And it starts with these young men and not letting them mistreat women. And your daughter standing up and owning their voice. So that was, date your kids is one of my advices I would have. And it was good for our family and helped us blend all these different personalities and ages.
I love that. So incredibly powerful. So I want to dive into that a little bit. So tell us like what that looked like for you. Would you go out to dinner or you'd have conversations or what did that look like?
So we had rules. So because of the kids all coming at different stages and ages, if you had a date, we'd go out on a date and the date would go on unless they misbehaved, and then the date would end because of behavioral problems with some of these kids that were coming in with different backgrounds. But they would ask out, and we would ask out, and then sometimes we'd have this big jar, and you'd pull it out, and maybe a date would be $5, or a date would be free, or a date would be at home and we'd have to make dinner together. One of my favorite dates that my son had, we'd go to R.C. Willie and play hide and seek. You could be creative with dates, picnics in the park, just even going to the grocery store and learning how to grocery shop, just some of these life skills. But having that time and interviewing and talking to our kids and letting them know how valuable they are and having a safe space to land. And I think it was important that my husband and I both did it, and that the children would have a turn in asking us out as much as we would have a turn in asking them out. And it would just go through a rotation. And so I think when I speak to my children now and I see them doing the same thing in their family and they talk about that experience, how that created a relationship that they didn't have coming from other backgrounds. So I think it's just, it's a great place to play, have curiosity, and to create a bond that you wouldn't have if you didn't take them out on a date.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely love that, especially in your situation, how you had these children coming to you at different phases in their life and really needing to know those life skills and how to interact with their family, their siblings. It's so cool. I've never heard of that before, so I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you.
It was fun.
Sarah, can you share a memorable moment from your blog or services that illustrate the impact you've had on other women?
I think the most important thing that I do is to help empower women, to help them believe that no matter what they choose in their birth, some moms, they're needing a C-section right off the bat, and other women, they want to birth at home, and just helping them believe in themselves, helping them realize that they have so much strength within themselves to accomplish the most difficult labor and delivery is one of those transformative events in the lives of a woman, and just helping them know that they can do it it's just been so magical to be able to receive that feedback from people saying, like, thank you so much for helping me. Like, I was able to have my unmedicated labor. And this is just a text that I got a few weeks ago from a friend who was able to take one of our courses. And that just really lights me up and makes me realize that it's not the message that people are sharing these days, is that people have the ability. I think the message these days is like, we'll go to the hospital and they'll just do X, Y, and Z. And so I help people to really feel that empowerment and the belief in themselves.
Okay, ladies. Did you just hear what
That's
she said?
Amazing.
I know.
I love
did
it.
She
That's
wing
amazing.
That?
Oh,
I know.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Women at their most vulnerable.
Yes.
Like, we all had babies here naturally, natural birth. Not that motherhood comes in all different fashions, but talk about the worst pain in my entire life, right?
Like, yes.
Bringing those little babies into the world. But I love what you said, and I just want to have a roundtable about this. You're seeing women at their most vulnerable, but also their most powerful moment. Like, I was having goosebumps head to toe when you were talking about that. Tell me what you thought about what Sarah said. Any thoughts?
I wish that I knew you on my first. My goodness. Because my thought process was it has to be just like the movies.
Yeah.
And I'm just supposed to pop him out. 3 days later being induced, it was not like that at all. It was very traumatic. So I wish I knew you. Because it was traumatic. And then it was traumatic for months after, just remembering. And it was really hard. So I think what you do is amazing.
I do too.
Well, and my first instinct was you have a gift, I can tell, of empowering people. Like you're talking yes, I can do it.
I can have three more.
I need another baby. Yes. But I think we all here at this table have a God-given talent that we have, whether you believe in God or not. You have a talent that you have, and I could feel it from you, and you are passionate about it. So thanks for sharing.
Yeah, that was a beautiful share.
I had a few choice, badass words that wanted to come. Thank you for that, Sarah. Really, really incredible work, what you do.
And breastfeeding, nobody ever told me how awful it was going to be.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know why. I just thought it was going to be picturesque. That's all I had,
She said that it hurt.
Moms, right? You just see the moms bonding with their baby, but that's not how it was.
You're like, hair and makeup is perfect. And then you're your perfect child. And you're just, this is going to be so easy. And you're
immediately.
Like, what the? Also, a few choice words that I was going to add. No, but yeah. Did you have something too, JC, that you wanted to share? It looked like you.
Well, you brought up breastfeeding. And when I had my first, girl, obviously, and I was changing her diaper, and she has a period. And I'm like, what the freak? I'm like 24. And I call my doctor and they're like, oh, that's normal. And I'm like, really? I never heard of it before. Still to this day, I've never heard of anyone else giving their kid a period, but I guess it is normal. Yes. It's common or something. But I had so many hormones going through me that I gave my daughter a period and I was like, this is insane. And you're acting insane because postpartum. Yes. I don't know. Is anyone else insane after baby?
Yeah.
I do really weird things like stand in the shower and just saw, and then your breasts are leaking. What's leaking? Yes. And it's like, so we like this? Like, we're going to do this again? Like, it's the world's best kept secret postpartum.
That nobody like, talks completely. About any of those.
Nobody.
Things.
On purpose. But then we do it again. So birthing is like, it's like kind of magical because I think the birthday, now that is magic, but the next 6 weeks after, another word.
Yeah.
And so that day makes up for everything after it. Mm-hmm. So what you do is like amazing that you're there for the good day. The good day.
By the way, I gave my dog a period after I had a baby. What? The hormones that I had, the dog was like picking up on and made the same hormones. And like, yeah.
Oh, you was were mimicking.
You were kookadiddle-doo.
Yeah,
I thought I was kookadiddle-doo.
Yeah, like my dog thought she was pregnant too.
Oh, you went places.
You guys, nature is weird.
Oh, it's crazy.
And fascinating and beautiful.
Womanhood is so beautiful and crazy.
It is. I think womanhood, right there, what we just talked about, we're superheroes. What creature does that? And then goes, let's do it again. Mm-hmm. And my example, because I only had two births and these miscarriages, when I adopted my daughter, the only one I got from birth, and they did the second skin and they do the cocoon and you put the little thing on, and they put this little tube down near my breast so she could pretend like she was breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a stupid idea. Because my body's like, oh, we've done this before.
I know exactly what's going
to happen. It started making milk after 11 years. I'm like, no. That was closed. That's why I adopted. It's broken. And so being a woman is incredible. What our bodies do, how it can stretch and then just go bounce back within time. But make dogs have periods, make our daughters have periods, make milk come after 11 years. If that's not a superhero, I don't know what is. Girls, holy cow. Where's our cape?
Right? We don't even need a cape.
We don't need a cape.
Maybe a tiara.
We just need a hot shower.
Oh, we should get tiaras for everybody.
We should.
Next show. We'll have our tiaras on. I love it.
I might have one.
Oh, I love it.
Like the license.
Hold on.
Where is your tiara?
Why do we not have that on?
Well, I just want to open it up. Are there any questions that we did not ask or something, a message that you want to share or a powerful quote or something that you just wanted to share with our listeners today? And we'll just go down the list here. Or does anybody have one right off they want to start with?
I can share real
quick. Yeah. I was just thinking when the topic was International Women's Day, I feel like sometimes I take that for granted. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a household where literally from birth, I felt like I could conquer the world. Like I thought I can run for president and I will win. I never felt like there was anything wrong with being a woman. I wasn't made to feel that way. So I was really fortunate and lucky that I had that environment to grow in and develop in. So for me, this is a topic that I have to think about now. Mm. Because it wasn't instinctual for me to think about it. And now that I do think about it, and again, I don't have daughters, so I'm not made to think about that on the daily.
Yeah.
But when I do think about it, for me, what being a woman has meant to me is that I know that there are things in place for me that if I want to go to college, that I can go to college. There are still women in this world who don't have, that's not even, reading is not even allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So I do take that for granted, and I do have to consciously think about what does being a woman mean in the world, not just in my bubble. I hope and I pray that women will all be able to feel that way at some point. But I feel very fortunate that I did feel that way growing up.
That's a great point, right? Yeah. Because we do live in a very blessed place. We're here in Daybreak, South Jordan, Utah. We have a lot at our fingertips. I'm in real estate. We weren't even allowed to own homes, right? Land, anything. Yeah. You mentioned somebody, I think it was you, Michelle, you mentioned earlier the right to vote. I went and did a humanitarian trip to Haiti, and I forget, right? We forget when we're in this environment, they don't have birth control there, and your average life expectancy – in this world is 40. 40. They have no aid, no health care, no birth control. Like, their orphanages are just full of babies that are abandoned. So I love that you bring that to our attention, because we are pretty blessed where we're at.
We are. And we can't forget, though, that there are women who still feel that way in our environment, in our bubble.
True.
So there are still women who do feel that way. But yeah. Mm-hmm. But in general, yes, we are blessed. We are lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts? I just want to go down our panel here.
I love that she said that. I grew up in the same environment where I feel like I could just conquer the world. I think that is such a blessing. But I think of my kids. One of my daughters is from Ethiopia, and she was born there and came over here. And I think about her history, her family, her situation, her hardship just to get to America, and how it is not given everywhere. And we need to be mindful of the seat and the table that we're sitting at in this place, Daybreak, the United States, Utah. It is a very beautiful table, but we need to be mindful of women all over the world. Mm. We have a program that my daughter and I have set up in Ethiopia, and because the women there don't have what we have, and that is sad in 2024, that there are still women just suffering, and it's across. And so I think we need to be mindful and be aware of what table we're sitting at.
Mm-hmm. That's really, really powerful. And I would love to get that information, and we'll share that on our socials too. When this podcast goes out, we'll be sure to link that at the bottom of our socials.
Thank you.
JC, did you have something as well?
I'd like to say ditto.
Yeah.
drop the mic.
I know.
They're saying, me and Amber talked about it before we got here, and it was kind of like, oh, this is hard. Because like what Amber said, we have grown up in this kind of fairy tale little bubble, like she said. But I think it's so important that we do remember that our bubble is so small compared to, we talk about overseas, but there's even, like you said, people here in the U.S. are definitely limited for being a woman. I know my cousin who's adopted two kids, who this woman is right here in America. Not, you didn't even have to go to Haiti or Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. There's people here struggling, and I'm just so happy to be reminded of that by you wonderful women. And yeah, I'm thankful to be here and have had you here. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate all the messages that you've shared so thus far. Sarah, any thoughts?
One of the quotes that I wanted to share today was from Oprah, and she said, "A queen is not afraid to fail. Failure is another stepping stone to greatness." And just remembering that no one has arrived at the greatness. It's all a journey that we take one step at a time each day, lifting each other, helping each other, supporting each other as women, and honoring each other as the queens we are.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely love that.
Gotta love that, Oprah.
I don't know if you could top that one.
I know, right? Well, you're next, Lindsay.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't have a quote, but I did think a lot about like the strong women like Oprah, Barbara Walters, like a lot of the women that just forged the path.
Yeah.
And I'm always inspired by them. And you think about their stories, and a lot of what they've done is for, like, they've done it themselves. They've challenged and stepped above their own limits. And I think that's really inspirational.
Pushed through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In spite of anything that anyone told them they couldn't do.
You
can't do this because you're a different color. You can't do this because you're female. They were like, yes, I can. And they did. And that's very inspirational.
Yeah. I love that too. One of my favorite mottos and kind of thoughts along those lines is empowered women empower women. And it really, as we're going down the panel and we're listening to that, I'm like, yes, 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 yes. And doesn't it just fill you with this? We talked about the energy here and how palpable it is, right? And it's hard not to be overwhelmed with emotion, but it makes me want to do even greater things. To take that, to take this conversation, you're birthing babies, you worked in LA and life coaches, and Lindsay, I can't even pronounce like what your career is because you're just so freaking awesome, like what you do. And Jen, of course, with your voice and podcasting, and JC too. Like, I need to figure out how to get as many followers as you, for one. It's just a powerful group of women, and the things that we can do when we're helping each other is the point that I wanted to bring home. Jen, what did you have?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about energy and just the energy that we bring to each situation, and thinking about this energy in the room, if we could bring that energy to motherhood, to the world, that's the kind of energy that will lift others, mm-hmm. that will empower us to do what we're called to do or to help our children. I feel like that's just, we need more of that energy. So the more that we can celebrate women, the more that we can encourage each other, that will keep that energy moving forward.
Yeah, I love that. Beautiful. Any final last thoughts from anybody?
Yeah. I think what I sense is there's this beautiful, quiet confidence. And I think that's such a gift that each one of you have. And because once you sit in that space, I think that's when we don't budge on our boundaries, which is just a fancy word for our values. And if we stand to those values in that quiet confidence, we become better mothers, sisters, communities. And just around here, this is such a beautiful table, but this quiet confidence, it's not boastful, it's not ego. It's just sitting in your talents and your gifts, and you guys are remarkable, and I feel privileged to be here. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Michelle. Yeah, Amber.
I'm not going to say who it was because that might sway some people's opinions, but I heard a quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't remember it, but it was basically, you cannot sit and listen to someone's story and get to know them and hate that person. Mm-hmm. You can't sit across from them and look them in the eye, hear their story, and then hate that person. And I just thought, that's so true. Like, us as women, when we get to know each other, when we spend time with each other, when we hear your story, when we hear your history, when we hear where you've been and what you've been through, you can't help but love that person. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're experiencing here as well, is that we're hearing each other's stories. And everyone here is different. We might look a lot alike because some of us are blonde.
And some most of you are blonde. Jennifer over here in the corner being
brunette. But we're not. We're not alike.
Yeah.
And not to judge people, but not to immediately just cast judgment on someone and get to know them, yeah. because you will love that person. It's almost impossible not to.
Yeah, that's so important. How powerful that is. And I think along those lines is, when you hear somebody's story, you can be very empathetic having gone through some of those situations or bits and pieces of that yourself, right? So you become empathetic and or sympathetic if you, you know, can relate but haven't necessarily been through that same experience. But it, at the very minimum, allows you to get to know them and you can have compassion for their path, because we're each on our own different path with our own backgrounds and situations. Living here, meeting in this room right now, having this awesome, powerful experience. And I'm just really incredibly grateful to each of you for taking the time to be here and share your messages. So thank you to you all. Before we wrap, I do want to get, and Blaine can edit this part out, but I do want to get if we can find you on socials, if you'll just announce those, like where we can find you on your socials so that we can include them in the podcast.
You can't find me on social media.
I know where to find you.
I don't have any.
Disclaimer, I am not an influencer, but it's at Amber Brooke Bennett.
Okay. Thank you, Amber.
My coaching is Michelle Orton, lowercase, realcoaching.com. And I think my handle on Facebook is Michelle Orton 7. I'm not sure.
Do you have your phone? You can pull it out.
Oh, no, it's out there.
Okay. Yeah, so that's okay. There. We'll find it.
We'll post it at the end. But I love the story thing that you said. I think that is so powerful, because from the beginning of time, that's how people started to communicate, is telling stories around a fire, on a wall, on a song. And you were in the film industry and we watch movies. Stories are powerful and they connect. And every one of us has such a beautiful one. Don't hide your story. Share it, because it will touch somebody. And that's what's going to bring us closer. I think that was such a powerful point. So thanks for sharing that.
Truly.
Amber, along with that, I just wanted to remind everyone that social media is a highlight reel and to do have connections in real person. Like, I feel like this today is so amazing because it's in person. And I think we forget that so much of things is online these days. And being in person, there's something about it. There's true connecting and learning people's story. Social media is a highlight reel. And
what is your social media?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Social media is at life.of.asister. And thank you again for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
My socials are at Made Mindful on most of the platforms.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah. I know where to find you.
Tell us again, Jen.
Yeah, Jen.
asforadversity.com or at asforadversity.
Awesome. And did you have any final thoughts as a host that you wanted to share or ask?
No.
Well, again, ladies, I do really, I know your time is very valuable. Each of you are just amazing at what you do, and thank you for sharing your message. And I think we should do this again. Mother's Day is coming up, right?
Well, let's all give a hand to our hosts. Hostesses, Bex and Jen.
Amazing.
Thank you.
I think the only edit is like, let's have some Kleenex next.
Oh, me. I was going to text him, but you're
it's
like,
it's been a
crying.
Day. I know.
Bring your wife some Kleenex, Blaine.
Thanks again for Blaine from Ride the Wave Media for producing this podcast episode. If you want to join the podcast network, I highly recommend it. You could have your own show, and there's no better network than this, Ride the Wave Media.